Welcome.
Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house, make me
the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I serve as your modern-day Shulamite woman as the owner and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And on tonight, it truly blesses my soul to welcome you once again to Wounded No More for this Thursday, November 11th, 2021. And now, here is your anointed host and facilitator of Wounded No More, Prophetess Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Cook. Welcome, everybody. That's a powerful song, Make Me a House of Prayer. It was one of those songs that I thought about last week when I taught about prayer. We're still going to be talking about prayer a little bit, but the main topic tonight is forgiveness. This will be the topic for the remainder of the year for Wounded No More. And there's a reason for it. We're going to start today by just, especially every show basically, is laying a foundation of the word based on forgiveness, based on the nature of God, not just our spiritual obligation as his children to forgive, but I really want to and desire for God to really speak clearly to us, as he always does, but that it'll be something that will empower you, because my main focus is to edify, comfort, and exhort you to forgive. And anything else that God is saying in between, because the scriptures that I'm going to be presenting tonight, just reading and letting the word do the work, is going to have so many different topics and different angles to it. But just remember, like I always say, make the word your own. Do not change it. But if it applies to you, dig deeper, meditate on it, read it, study it, and see what God has to say. Don't just be so quick to check a box as it pertains to the word. But like say, Lord, let it be in my heart. Even that song, A House of Prayer, comes from a passage in Isaiah that talks, you know, Jesus quoted that this, my house shall be a house of prayer. And that means a place where the mind and the heart of God resides. And so it's not just petitions and prayers, it's intercession, really. So that's why that song is still so powerful and relevant to what I'm going to be teaching tonight as it pertains to forgiveness. And we're going to be going kind of back and forth between the Old and the New Testament, just to give you an understanding. I will be reading today from the ESV, and then there'll be times that I'll be reading from the Amplified. So please make sure that you get your pen and pencil out so that you can jot down the scriptures so you can go and study them for yourself, but also anything else that the Lord may be saying to you in this lesson tonight. When you talk about forgiveness, the reason why I wanted to start with foundationally, it's like it's really important to understand what the word says first and foremost about this topic, only because there's so many, if you will, self-help and anecdotal type of books out there about forgiveness and about how it is a principle that has more to do with our own faculties than really with God. And so we're going to dig deeper in the next couple of weeks until the end of the year and maybe 1 week into the new year about this topic, because wherever God speaks, I'm going to speak. And when he stops talking, I'm going to stop talking. And that's what the word does. And he fills in the blank. We're going to start with Psalms 86 and 5. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, you abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. This is a Psalms of David, and David, and this once again is an example of the nature of God. He is good and he is forgiving. Now keep in mind, as his children, as a child of God, we have his nature. And we have, you know, and then those are things in us that he's developing. And because we have his Holy Spirit, when I mention forgiveness and I talk about how first God is good and God is forgiving, it lets you know what's inside of you. And it's not just potential. It's who you are in Christ. If you own that and you walk in that and submit to that, remember who God is as it pertains to these verses I'm going to be speaking. There'll be like three or four of them that just talk about his nature, his nature. And so when we begin to focus on the nature of God, then once again, we can acclimate to that same nature that's within us. And Psalm 86, God is forgiving and he is good. For some reason, I stopped to think that, you know, because he is a good God, he is always going to be forgiving. That has to do with his being good. And full of, and it says in the ESV, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him. In the Amplified, it says, for you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive our sins, sending them away completely, letting them go forever and ever, letting them go, and abundant in loving kindness and overflowing in mercy to all those who call upon you. I love this. That's why I always try to read both. You're good and you're ready to forgive our sins, sending them away, completely letting them go forever and ever. And that goes on to a verse in Psalm 103 that talks about his nature. Psalms 103 and, let's find this. Oh, Psalms 103 and 12 that says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. They are no more, just like it just said in Psalms 86. Now we're going to go on to, so just keep that in mind about his nature. He is good and quick and ready to forgive us of our sins, of our sins. He's good and full of faith. In Mark 11, verses 24 through 25, in the ESV, it says, therefore I tell you, and this verse in this passage is about power, prayer, and forgiveness. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe, many of us have heard this, that you have received it and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, so this is about prayer, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you to forgive you of your trespasses. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, this is me reading from the Amplified. In accordance with God's will, so pray God's will, believe with confidence and trust that you have already received them and they will be given to you. And that's about faith. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, forgive him, drop the issue, let it go. Now that wording, let it go, drop the issue, goes all the way back to what we just got done reading in Psalms 86. I mean, like he's willing to let it go. So we have to be willing to let it go. Do you see how the verbiage is the same and the idea is the same, like it never even happened, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. Now that's, it goes that far and amplified. He forgives you of your sins against others and against him. And so this is another reason why forgiveness is very, very important. And it is part of our nature to forgive. In Psalms 32 and 1, it says, blessed is the one who is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. So I'm going to read, blessed, fortunate, and prosperous, favored by God is he whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is covered. So I hope you see the line of thinking I'm going in. We're blessed and fortunate to be forgiven, and our sins are covered. God covers our sins. So this, once again, is denoting to the nature of God. We're blessed because he forgives us. And if we keep going back to these verses, the previous one and then the next one, eventually it'll be drilled in, because I feel like the way that God gave me these scriptures, or the way that I'm, that they're lining up, it's like there's something that's being hit over and over again very hard. His nature, what he did for us, and this enables us to do for others. Matthew 6, 14 through 15, that's about prayer as well and how we prosper in prayer. For if you give others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. Amplified says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, that means things they've done to you intentionally, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't, do not forgive others, nurturing, if you begin to nurture your own hurt, and anger with the result that it interferes with your relationship with God. This is amplified. Your father won't forgive you. So they broke it down a little bit, didn't they? In verse 15 in the Amplified, if you don't forgive others, which means if you are holding grudges, nurturing your own hurt and anger with the result that it interferes with your relationship with God, which means it does, then your father will not forgive you. So start to think about all the things that unforgiveness begins to produce in your life, hurt and anger that you sit and you nurture and you fester in, and it keeps you from being in a relationship with God. Then your father will not forgive you your trespasses. And I love that, because that just, it speaks very plainly. It's like, this is why we can't be in a place of unforgiveness. It's one of the reasons, because it keeps us from God. And even though we belong to him, unforgiveness keeps us away from him. So 1 John 1-9 says, I'm going to start with the Amplified. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity with his will. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to give us. Now, what I like about this is it talks about us confessing, God being faithful, and God being just. So there's a level of truth to being freely admit. To be honest, to freely admit means you can freely submit and confess your sins before the Lord. And this is how it gets that forgiveness train going. We will forgive and cleanse us continually, because, you know, sin is the thing that brings stains and taints us. He cleanses us from our sins and our unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything that's not in conformity with his will and purpose for us. Unforgiveness keeps us out of his will. Just like it said in the previous verse, unforgiveness keeps us out of relationship. So if it keeps us out of relationship, it definitely keeps us out of his purpose and will. And then there's because he's not just a God that is good, which goes back to Psalms 86:5, he's forgiving. And he's good and forgiving. And then it talks about he not only cleanses us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, but there's a level of justice in that too as well. I always think how righteousness and justice go together when it comes to God. And once again, this scripture is talking about the nature of God. And keep in mind, I'm not talking about some foreign entity that has nothing to do with you. You are the righteous, are you not? I remember praying one time and God, you know, and I was praying, probably confessing some of these scriptures about being righteous, you know, for affirmations and things like that. And I was saying it like I didn't believe it. And the Lord stopped me in the middle of my prayer to reaffirm me and say, are you not the righteous? You know, was in this place where I was just thinking too much. And I said, you know, Lord, I don't do everything right and this and that. And he said, but you still are the righteous. So you have to have the mind of Christ and begin to confess these things. And, you know, your heart will turn towards him. And then you'll see more of, you know, the manifestations of you rock walking those things out every day and being developed in you. But I wouldn't even open my mouth to say it. And I just want people to understand that righteousness and justice go together as it pertains to God. This is about his character. This is about his nature. And he is developing those things in us through the Holy Spirit. One of the agents that get in the way of that is unforgiveness. And that's why it's important to remember that we admit, when we fully admit, we fully can submit to his faithfulness, to always want to be just and loving and good towards us. And that has to do with his justice and his faithfulness and his goodness to forgive us constantly. I mean, constantly, and cleanse us of all unrighteousness that sin leaves that residue. In Hebrews, let's continue in Hebrews 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful and gracious toward their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. Now, this is taken from really Jeremiah, and Paul is quoting this. as he's writing the Hebrews about this, and this has to do with the new covenant. And for I will remember their wickedness and remember their sin no more. So once God cleanses you, when God says he forgives you absolutely. And when there's offense and when there's things that we need to forgive, we have to have that same nature. We have that same nature. Now we need to activate that same nature like it never happened. All offenses removed. All the wickedness is removed. He has constantly did that to the children of Israel. If you read, especially in the Old Testament, how he was constantly forgiving them and constantly cleansing them on top of it and constantly protecting them, even though it seemed like at different times they were just dead set on doing wrong and doing what they wanted to do, God still was faithful to them because he can't go against his nature. He can't go against his nature. Just like justice and righteousness go together, so does mercy and grace and his forgiving of us of our sins. In Proverbs 17, verse 9, whoever covers an offense seeks love. So this scripture makes me think of love. Okay, so now we're moving to another topic, kind of, but not. When I talk about unforgiveness, what blocks love is unforgiveness. So he who covers and forgives an offense seeks love, seeks to love that person, seeks to have that love developed in them, seeks to walk in love, seeks to grow in love. Whoever covers and forgives an offense seeks love, seeks to be mature in love. But he who repeats or gossips about a matter, he separates intimate friends. So when you cover an offense, it's not like you can forget about it, never happens. And that's one of the topics that I'm going to talk about is how to forgive what you can't forget, what is struggling. And that is an inspiration of a book that I've actually read. So I'm going to talk about the book a little bit and my own experience, but I'm also going to talk about how when you decide to forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that you forget what happened to you and you are still enabled and empowered to forgive because you're trying to seek love. You're seeking not just to be loved by others, but to love your own self and to be receptive to the love of God. And that's what this says to me. It's like he who covers an offense seeks love. So when you think about the love of God for us, a lot of times, especially Christians, servant leaders, I'll just say that servant leaders get into this pattern of just doing because we are doing the work of the Lord. We work heartily unto the Lord. But without love, then it's just a bunch of noise. And then it's just us doing stuff in our own strength. And it becomes laborious and it becomes, you know, carnal. And it feels that way. And so as we're working and doing all these things, there's so many things that happen. I mean, people, ministry can be messy. We know this because it involves people. And wherever there's people, there can be mess. And so there will be some level of offense, whether it's intentional, like I just got done reading about people that willfully sin against you or willfully do things against you, or whether it's just a perceived sense of offense. But when we decide to cover it and forgive like it never happened, we don't walk in a place of, you know, like we're being in a fantasy. This is to build love in many areas. So this is not just about you receiving love from others. This is about you being receptive to the love of God. And this is about you learning to love yourself so you can love others. So see how it's multifaceted there. When you cover something and forgive, you seek love. That's you cultivating love in offense that happens. You're seeking love. There's another scripture I'm going to read about love and forgiveness as well. In Proverbs 10 and 12, it talks about hatred stirs up strife, right? Love covers all offenses. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers and overwhelms all transgressions. It's like it outshadows transgressions. Love does. True love does. Forgiving and overcoming another's fault. And that's what love does. You forgive and you overlook another's fault. There's a song, I forget the name of the song, but I always, even in prayer, the Lord will say to me, look beyond the fault and see the need. Look beyond the fault. You know, he looked beyond all my fault and he saw my need. I'm making it complicated. It's a very popular song. He looked beyond all my faults and he saw my need. And that's what we're to do for others when we choose to forgive. When we choose to cover an offense, we seek to love them. We seek to be loved. And to be honest, we get in a place where we can learn to be receptive to the love of God that will flow through us in this place of forgiveness. Look beyond the fault and see the need, and then cover it with love. Easier said than done, right? But this is where it starts. This is where it starts, and the word is affirming us and building us up. That's what this whole night is supposed to be. I'm building a foundation to begin to teach about forgiveness. And it's all in the word, and it's all in the nature of God. In Psalms 103 and 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, remember I read that earlier? So far has he removed our transgressions from us. And so this goes once again to the nature of God. And I could really dig into this for a while, but I'm not, because I don't want to get off track, because I think a lot of times there's error and wrong and bad theology that talk about the nature of God and how he holds things against us and how God did this and God willed that and God allowed this. And it's erroneous and has nothing to do with his character and his nature. He's removed transgressions from us. And yet, we've allowed religion and, like I said, bad theology teach us otherwise and tell us otherwise. Listen, God doesn't expect us to be anything that he is not. Everything is in his nature is in us and potentially has to be developed in us. Many of us have to be developed, and we have to mature in love. And we have to, our love walk has to mature. So these things are in us. And once you forgive somebody, you don't hold that to their account, just like he doesn't hold it against us. And so he gives us that power to do that. In Daniel, in the book of Daniel 9:9, it talks about, this is Daniel praying for his people. And he goes on in verse 9, and he says, the Lord our God is merciful. Once again, he's reaffirming in his prayer, throughout his prayer, but this one specifically, this place, the nature of God, that he is merciful and forgiving. So remember, we talked about he's just and he's good and he's righteous. And so this is another part of his character. He is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. And so he's praying this and saying, Lord, your nature doesn't change. For our Lord, our God, he belong mercy and loving kindness and forgiveness. He said that's his nature. That's part of who he is he's loving. He's kind, he's forgiving, and he's merciful. And so we talked about all this, once again, drilling it in, the character of God as it pertains to forgiving us, and it enables us to understand, okay, if God can do it, then he put that in me, I can do it too. Even though, you know, people will rebel, people will consistently do things against you. We do have a formidable enemy, and some people are being controlled by that enemy willingly. And so that means they will cross paths. But, you know, we're to learn how to forgive them and to walk in love, even when there is levels of, you know, obvious rebellion. In Isaiah 43:25, same thing again about the nature of God. I, he who blots out your transgressions for my own namesake. Once again, his own namesake has to do with his nature. He's not going to go against his nature to forgive us and wipe out our transgression and be righteous and be good and be merciful. And, you know, he's not. That's why he blots out our sins, because he's not going to walk away from who he is and what he does. And what he does is who he is. And so the more that as I was preparing for this, as I'm reading this, this is getting drilled in more and more into me. When I think I can't, God already did, so therefore I can. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And many of these things have been done before. And he gives me, I'm part of his nature. In Hebrews 10:17, it talks about, for their sins and lawless acts will be remembered no more. Once again, this is the nature of God. How, and it goes back to what Christ did, one sacrifice for all sins. Their sins, and because their sins and their lawless acts, I will remember no more, no longer holding their sins against them. This is a prophetic word that was talking about the Messiah in the book of Jeremiah 31. So when Paul is writing to them about, you know, just remember what Christ did, how he took all of our sins, one sacrifice for all sins. And part of that had to do with our lawless acts, our rebelliousness, and our, you know, corrupt and depraved nature. It all went to the cross, and that was one time for all, one time for all. That once again is letting you know about his nature. And if you, and this is one of my favorite ones that we hear all this time. This is in Psalms 130, verses 3 through 4. If you, Lord, should keep an account of our sins and treat us accordingly, O Lord, who could stand before you in judgment and claim innocence? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared and worshiped with submissive wonder. That's David. Excuse me, David speaking. If Mark, it you know, the ESV says, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquity, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. And that just means reverently worshiped. Ephesians 1, verses 7 through 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And this is just the foundation, one of the foundations I'm laying about forgiveness and how important it is that we move on, that we choose to forgive, first of all. And that goes back to Matthew 6, how he talks about if you do not forgive. If that word is a conditional phrase, it's a prepositional phrase, but it's a conditional phrase. That means there has to be choice. See, even though we have a loving God, we do. He gives us free will. We have to choose to forgive. We have to choose to say, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to overlook an offense. I'm going to learn how to do that, because otherwise my relationship with God will be hindered. I won't grow. My love walk won't be a love walk. It'll be something else, but it definitely won't keep me in relationship with God. And as servant leaders, this is just a principle. What I'll be teaching for the next couple of weeks is just, I think it's foundational, but it's I'm not going to go too deep into everything, but it's basic. And I think that these things are, they need to be taught over and over again. It's like Bishop was saying when I told her I was teaching, she said, we as servant leaders need this. We always need to be encouraged to just make sure you need to forgive. Make sure you forgive. Make sure you don't hold offense against anybody. But I took a different angle tonight because I wanted people just to be encouraged and focus on the nature of God. Focus on what he did for you. Focus on so many examples in the Old Testament and New, which the New Testament is talking about, is echoing the Old Testament, about how he was, God is merciful. God forgives. God restores. He protects. And he blesses. And we're blessed because he forgives us. We're favored because we are forgiven. Because he does this for his namesake, which means he continues to be who he is to us despite the fact that we don't deserve it. Nothing people do to us really can change the character of who we are in Christ. It can't change it. So, okay, if you, and I'm thinking through this like I would in a natural, you know, there's always opportunities to forgive, but there's also opportunities for God to show you levels of where you haven't forgiven totally. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper into that the next time I teach, because I realized that this is something that, some things are easy to forgive. Something happened today with us that annoyed me, and my husband used it as an example to enlighten me about forgiveness and how when you're offended, you just let it go immediately, and you don't even have to deal with the issue of forgiveness or unforgiveness, right? The moment you get offended, you just say, okay, I cover it with love. I'm done. It's done. It's over with. I don't care if it just happened 4 minutes ago. You just decide. You choose to forgive. You choose to move on. You choose to cover an offense. Remember how I said, if you cover an offense, you seek love. And love prospers when a fault is forgiven. But dwelling on it separates friends. This is an example of what unforgiveness can do. It creates breaches. But when he used that, it just got, first of all, got my attention. And it was a very trivial, you know, experience. But it still was like, he was like, okay, you can choose to be offended and just get mad and raise your blood pressure, or you can just overlook it and just charge to the game or whatever, you know, like, okay. And he's right. It's a choice. So you have to allow your emotions, be aware of your emotions so that you can, you know, self-control is a fruit of spirit. So you don't have to be out of control. But if you're mad about something or if you're offended about something, it can either stop there or it can grow and get worse. Now, remember what I read in Amplified, how it talks about how you nurture your hurts and your pain. And that's why that offense becomes bigger than what it was. And that's what we're not to do. We're not to nurture our own pains and fester and stuff, because it will. So you can't talk about forgiveness and unforgiveness if you don't talk about the spirit of offense. And from time to time, as I'm going through these teachings, I will talk about that. How is, you know, my husband said, well, if you're easily offended, you're going to be offended, you know, it's going to be easy for that stuff to fester and sit in your heart. You have to decide, not only are you going to forgive, but that you're not going to be easily offended. All right? And it's that simple. So you just kind of like, you know, let it roll off your back like a duck, you know, let it roll off. Release it. Whatever word you want to use, move on. And don't hold it in your heart. And he showed me that today in the situation we were in. I was like, okay, you know what, you're right. It's just that simple. You have to choose. Say, okay, I'm going to choose not to be unforgiving. I'm going to choose to forgive, but sometimes you got to start, I'm going to choose not to be easily offended. I'm just not going to invest myself and my emotions in that. And that's where it is. If you're easily offended or sensitive or having a bad day, you have to sometimes speak it out of your mouth. I'm not going to be easily offended today, even though I'm tired. I'm not going to be easily offended today, even though I might be a little overloaded and overwhelmed, feeling limited. I'm not going to be, you know, easily offended because other people are, you know, acting certain kinds of ways towards me or ignoring me. I'm not invested in those emotions. And the more you do that, the more you won't be dealing with unforgiveness. And then you'll remember the nature of God. Once again, especially when it comes to prayer. And that's what I liked about a lot of the scriptures I chose had to do with prayer. Daniel's prayer, it had to do with Jesus instructing them about proper prayer in Matthew and in Mark. Just talking about how important it is. And prayer is a sacred thing. Prayer is like a conversation. It's a dialogue. So, you know, and, you know, it's talking about put that stuff down before you come before me. Go and forgive your brother before you come asking me for anything. You know, and the Lord saying, before you come before me, I think there's a level of piety and self-righteousness that seems like we are enacted in when we participate in, I'm sorry. If we don't forgive when we come, if there's somebody we know we need to forgive. And it's also a great opportunity for God to begin to work on our hearts when he shows us ourselves and says, you need to forgive that person. You got too much junk going on about that offense or about that person. And it's really something you're festering in. It's getting in the way of me trying to talk to you and deal with you. And, you know, for you to be a better servant leader, you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to forgive that person. So let's go take care of that. And God can tell you how to do that spiritually and naturally or both. And to repent if your unforgiveness has created, you know, some negativity that you are responsible for. You're not responsible for the other person's reaction towards you. You just have to say, I'm going to forgive you. One of the ways that you don't hold, that you don't get easily offended is if you know there is some level of offense in your life towards a person or a situation, begin to pray about that situation. That's one of the biggest ways I learned not to carry, you know, junk is I began to pray for myself as it pertains to that situation, that God would show me how to forgive and that I would be patient in peeling that onion, because I call it forgiveness an onion sometimes. You have to peel it a little bit at a time. And we want it all to be gone because we say, well, I did forgive them. And next thing you know, something will come up and you're like, I thought I forgave them. And the Lord said, you know, you just got to peel off another layer. So we have to be patient. But it starts, you know, just like that song, House of Prayer, has to be a place of intercession, but it's a place where the heart and mind of God resides. And if that's supposed to be us, making us a house of prayer, a sacred time with God, and prayer is always going on. And that means that forgiveness and those offenses and can't be dwelling at the same time in the presence of God. And he'll, you know, if you're paying attention, he'll tell you. He'd be like, I'm not even thinking about that right now. He said, I know you're not, but I am. And it's not, it's separating us. It's separating from me really being close to you. You know, it's separating, it's keeping you not sensitive to my presence and to my word. And so deal with it. So this is why we're talking about unforgiveness. But there's so many different branches and twigs to it, right? Offense, you know, being in your feelings, being easily offended, you know, and there's so many pieces to this. And then the root of bitterness, which is beyond unforgiveness. And I heard somebody once say that bitterness was one of the hardest things to uproot. And it made me kind of like, oh my goodness, really? But I think that that's why God is dealing with us so much about to be quick to forgive. Me and my husband also had to talk about being quick to forgive and just choosing not to be easily offended. It's a choice, and which is why he said, if you do not forgive, which means you can choose to or not to. If it's a choice, if you confess your sins, which means the opposite is if you don't confess your sins, can God really be God? Can God be faithful? Can he be just? If you don't forgive your sins, confess your sins, and we're just talking about unforgiveness and what unforgiveness manifests into, all kinds of stuff. We're going to get deeper into that. But I hope and pray that tonight, I'm going to pray in a couple of minutes, I hope and pray that tonight's message will resonate with you in some kind of way, with you and God, that it is something that will draw you closer, that something that maybe will, that was said tonight, is confirmation of what God is laying on your heart about, that you don't have to go into next year or next month or next week with anything on your heart towards anyone. And also, if he has shown you something, then guess what? He shined a light on something so that you're not in the dark about it, that you're aware. Not only are you aware of maybe that place of unforgiveness, but you can be aware of the habits and that go along with it. You know, because sometimes we can know in our hearts, yeah, I'm still holding on to that. I don't want to. But we're not always aware of the behavior it manifests. Unforgiveness will manifest these certain behaviors and mindsets. And I'm not going to even, we're going to talk about that later. So amen. We're not going to, you know, fake the funk. We're not going to fake the funk. We're mature. We're servants. And we want to be better servants. And we want to be more mature. And we, you know, with all the things that God is charging us to do, we want our hands to be clean. And we want our minds and hearts to be clean. And so this is just one topic I'm talking about. But I know God will be blessed. It reminds me, Bishop, that one time when he had me teaching for a while about the love of God. And I think that was the beginning of the year. And when I tell you that affected me so to the point where I was not just crying on air, but I was also crying as I was preparing. And I thank God for the word encircling me in that way. And so I pray, my prayer tonight is that the word will encircle you tonight, and that encircle you and make you safe and cause you understanding that God is a refuge, that he loves us so much and he wants us to remember who he is and what he has done for us and for mankind. So when I begin to talk about his nature, this is why I came from this place. This is one foundation I'm building. Actually, I'm not building. God already built it. I'm just reminding us that it's already built. So, Father God, I just thank you right now today for this lesson about forgiveness, that we begin to understand your nature and understand that you are just a forgiving and good God. And you're full of faithfulness. And, Lord, you forgive us because for your name's sake, because of who you are. And this new covenant that has been available to us through Christ, you know, allows us and empowers us to forgive, to let go of things, to not stir up hatred and stir up strife, but to decide to grow love in our lives and let go of things and not hold fault against people, you know, not look at their faults, but see their needs, to be prayerful, to be a place of intercession, Lord, so we can put on more of you and less of ourselves or someone else's burdens that don't belong to us because we won't let something go. I thank you, Lord, tonight for every servant leader hearing this. I thank you, Lord, today that your word is sharper. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So I thank you for the cutting going both ways to mature us, to make us sharper, to make us brighter, to make us more loving towards another, and that our effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And so I truly believe that not just my prayers, but the prayers of others, Lord, will avail us much when we choose to forgive.
Yes, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a beautiful message on tonight. Prophetess Vanessa, this is going to be a wonderful series and a very timely series. But if you are sitting in our studio right now and you would like Prophetess to specifically pray for you in an area, or if you would like to ask a question about forgiveness, if you are in our studio, please press your 1, and I will kindly address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. If you are sitting in our chat room and you would like to ask Prophetess a question about forgiveness, you are more than welcome to do that. So we just want to thank you all that are here. We'd also like to say a very special welcome to our listeners in the United Arab Emirates. We want to thank you and welcome you to the Spirit of Life family, and also to our friends in Frankfurt, Germany. We praise God for you. We thank you so much for listening to the Spirit of Life Network. So on behalf of myself and Prophetess Vanessa, we pray that you continue to follow us here at the Spirit of Life Network. We pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Hallelujah. And from our household to your household, since I see there is no more one, there's no ones, our prayers that you be ye transformed. Amen. And God bless you. Thank you so much, Prophetess, for a anointed word.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.